Blog Talk Radio. morning to you, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. This is Cynthia Fontaine, Spirit Guru and Rhode Island Psychic Medium, coming to you live here from sunny New England. We finally are seeing some sun. Yay! We've had so much rain, but not nearly as much rain as other parts of the country. So I'm grateful for that, and my heart goes out to all of those people who are experiencing difficulties due to weather, whether it's flooding or the tornadoes that we've been seeing here in the U.S. this last week or so. It's a difficult thing when nature does things that aren't very nice to us. And, you know, we're seeing more and more bigger storms that are causing more damage as time goes by. Of course, I believe it's due to global warming, but, you know, not everybody's on that same page. But if you're listening to me, you probably are. So how are you guys all today? It's a beautiful day here, and whether the weather is cooperating or not, every day is a beautiful day because it's another day that you're breathing life. You're here listening to me, whether you listen live or you listen to the replay. I have lots of listeners who listen to the replay. You can download these broadcasts also, by the way, in case you did not know that. So then you can listen to them anytime on your devices. You also, supposedly, you can find me on Alexa, too. I don't know, but supposedly I am on there if you know how to work your Alexa device and search for Cynthia Fontaine. Like I said, supposedly I'm on Alexa somewhere. I actually just got an Alexa. My daughter wasn't too happy about it because she, you know, is more into computer stuff, we'll say, in a sense, than I am. And she's, like, freaked out about security issues with Alexa. So I don't leave it plugged in all the time. I only plug it in when I'm going to use it, which I don't know if it's good, bad, indifferent, whatever. But that's the way I do it. So she's a little bit more comfortable. And I only plug it in when I need it. So, and I've got Siri. So really, it's kind of the same, I think, right? Whether it's Siri or Alexa, it's all connected to that beautiful World Wide Web, which is mostly beautiful. Well, I like to think so. Maybe a little optimistic, because we know there's lots out there that isn't always so beautiful. But we can avoid those sort of things by just not clicking on them or filtering out our news feeds, etc., if we're on Facebook or things like that. So I'm just trying to find a good place here to sit outside because it's so beautiful. And here in New England, it's our season for beautiful weather. As far as being able to sit outside and being comfortable, isn't all that long. So any time that I'm able to sit outside on a beautiful day, definitely take advantage of that. So I'm just trying to position myself here because I'm getting ready to go live on Facebook as well. And so you guys can't see me on Blog Talk Radio, but my peeps over on Facebook will be able to see me live. And then, so I'm just trying to get positioned so they can actually see me and it's not all glaring and whatever. Okay. All right. Oh, well, you're looking at my house. So let me see if I can turn to a better, more pleasing spot. Okay, there we go. Alrighty, here we are. So, my topic today, when life brings you lemons, right? Make lemonade, which sometimes is easier said than done.
Okay. What? When life brings you lemons, make lemonade, right? But we, have you ever had lemonade without sugar? Yuck, it's bitter, right? It doesn't taste very good, and it makes you probably not want to drink lemonade. I personally love lemonade, although I don't like it too sweet. I like it a little bit more on the tart side. So most store lemonades are just too sweet for me, and I always thin them down with water. So, sorry, I'm just texting my daughter because we're having countertops dropped off, and she's at home. Anyway, sorry about that. Okay, good morning, Cindy Fala. Good morning, Deb. Watching from Philadelphia. Go Philadelphia. And Cindy's out on the West Coast in California. I love that the internet can connect us to people all around the world. You know, I have listeners and students in Portugal, in Spain, in England, in Canada, in the U.S., of course, in Venezuela when they have internet. It's a terrible thing as the things that the poor Venezuelan people are going through. You know, one of my students is there, and it's really rough, you know. If you think you have it rough, look at some other places in the world because it's probably not as rough as you have it. Because if you're sitting listening to me now, it means you have electricity and you have internet. Your house probably didn't have the roof ripped off last night, or, you know, is 3 feet underwater. So life is good if you're tuning in. Good morning, Tracy Donovan O'Malley. I always leave the O'Malley apart because you're always Tracy Donovan to me. And so when life gives you lemons, what do you do with them? You can make lemonade, but then you need sugar. And life doesn't typically, you know, in my experience, give you sugar at the same time it gives you the lemons to make the lemonade. So you have to find your own sugar. And, you know, of course, this is all metaphoric. And how do you find your own sugar? Well, sometimes you have to make your own sugar, right? When we experience difficult things in our life, it's an opportunity for us to learn, to grow, to expand. And that's where you make the sugar to add to your lemonade to make it sweetened, right? When we take the opportunities, when we recognize them, when we can do the hard work and get through it, then you get sugar. Another way to create sugar when life throws you lemons is to really be clear about the lemons, right? Like, whose lemons are they? Are they really your lemons? Are they somebody else's lemons, right? And so in my own life right now, you guys, if you've tuned in before, you've heard me talk the last couple of weeks about some of the things that are happening in my life that aren't my own things, but my family's things, which have, I don't want to say become my responsibility, because we have to be clear that it's a choice what we take on, right? Good morning, Mary Elizabeth. It's a choice about what we take on, right? So the lemons, so here's the lemons. Boom, boom, boom. You're getting hit with the lemons, right? And the lemons can be losing a job. The lemons can be your car breaking down. The lemons could be you break a foot. The lemons could be that your mom or dad or you know, sister, brother, niece, nephew, or have an illness and are diagnosed, and maybe they're in the hospital, or maybe they have long treatment, right? The lemons is it rains and all of a sudden your roof starts leaking, and then you've got water in the house and you have to deal with that. So those are the lemons, right? Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Guinevere. Nice to see you guys all here checking in on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning here in New England. Could be Sunday afternoon or Sunday or Monday evening, morning, wherever you're. If you're in Australia, I think it's already Monday in Australia. And I have great listeners in Australia as well and New Zealand. This is so much fun. I love having you guys all here. I love the Blog Talk Radio studio. I love you guys here on Facebook. I love the Facebook because I can actually see, you know, the posts. And then I love to take callers on Blog Talk because it's always so interesting. There's always something to learn and it's inspiring. And I hope you guys know and understand that, like, when I do take callers or when I do pull cards for people on Facebook, that there's such a thing called cleanons. And it's that when somebody else is getting a message and it feels like it's for you, it's because it really is for you. So even though I got or I may not answer a question in the, on the Facebook chat, you know that there still can be an answer for you. Just listen to other people's messages and you make it your own. Oh, I love you, Lisa by Grace. Ah, morning in Australia. Yeah, Monday morning. Good morning, Kristen. Yeah, I thought so, Monday morning in Australia. So I try to sort of cover everybody when it comes to time-wise. Okay, so the lemons, right? Here comes the lemons. Boom, boom, boom. You get hit by these lemons, and then what happens? Oh, you can, like, you know when they used to throw rotten tomatoes on stage to people to get them off stage? I visualize the lemons like that, right? So you're on stage, and they're throwing these lemons at you, but they're hard, and they're big, and you know, all the GMO lemons are huge these days, and they're really hard, and they don't tend to ripen well, whatever. We're not talking about GMOs today or organic foods, but go organic whenever you can. It's good. It's better for us. It's better for the universe, the planet, and local, even better. So you're on stage, you're getting pelted by these lemons, right? Oh, it hurts. Oh, what do I do now? So you can fall to the ground, right, after you're getting hit by them, or you can throw them back, or you can take them and walk off stage and go find a pitcher and some water and some sugar and make lemonade, right? So the water, metaphorically, is your emotions, because water is all about emotions. And so then the lemon is the bitter part, the things that happen to us or around us. Sometimes we attract these things to us. If you believe in the law of attraction, then everything's attracted to us. Even when it's other people's situations, say, right? Because, like, say, like, I have family stuff going on. Now, I chose this family to come into knowing that I was going to have certain family stuff with this family. And that's part of what I, you know, my mission in soul growth in this time. Sorry, guys. I need to turn this off. And decline. Okay. Totally lost my train of thought. Ah, I need to go on airplane mode. Hold on, because I do not want that to keep happening. Da-da-da-da. How do I find that? Okay. So the lemons are the bitter parts, right? They're the illness. They're the leaky roof. They're the car breaking down. You just got a call that your daughter was arrested for, caught drinking or whatever, right? Your kid, your son, whatever. I just need to message this person back, and now I'm going on silent. Jeez, it's. You know, people always call when I'm on the radio. I don't know what it is, but they do. Airplane mode on. Okay, so now nobody can call. Because even if I turn the phone off, or turn it on silent, the calls still come through my computer. So they would ring through anyway. Ah, so there's the lemon. And how do we make sugar? turn the phone on airplane mode. Yay. Okay. So, and, you know, I use the example about your daughter getting arrested because I had a friend that that happened to. And she was with some friends and they were in a place they shouldn't have been. And, you know, they had been partying a little bit, but their friends got kind of really rowdy. And one of the neighbors called the police, and that's why they got arrested. But it wasn't even my friend's daughter who was the one causing problems, but because she was there with her friends, she got involved in the mix and she got arrested. And anyway, it all turned out well in the end. But, you know, that's a lemon. You get that phone call. So for me, and I can, you know, I can talk about my own life experiences and the people in my life. Of course, I never name the people in my life because that would be, you know, awkward and not fair to them. But so for me, like you guys know, if you tuned in, my dad's been in and out of the hospital the last 3 weeks. Well, he's really been in and out of the hospital the last couple of years, off and on. Like last year was a better year. The year before he was in the hospital 8 times. I think he's already been in the hospital this year, probably 5 or 6 times, no more than that, because it's already 3 times just this month in May. And so it's interesting because he doesn't call his wife when he needs to go to the hospital. He calls me. And I live an hour away. And like the other day, I was in Newport dealing with some of my brother's things because my brother's got himself into a pickle and I'm helping him with that situation. So I was an extra half an hour away on top of it. So I was an hour and a half away and dad calls me and says, he can barely talk when he gets on the phone. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So I'm like, dad, you need to go to the hospital and call the rescue. No, I'm going to wait for you. That's what he does all the time. No, I'm going to wait for you. So, you know, I'm like, dad, I'm an hour and a half away and I can't leave at this moment. You know, it's going to be 15 or 20 minutes before I can even leave here. Let's call the rescue. No. So part of it is he doesn't want to call the rescue because every time he calls the rescue, it's $1,500, which is, you know, for the service, it's reasonable. But yet, you know, if you don't have that kind of money and you need the rescue, it can be a real burden. So I called his doctor's office and his doctor's like, yep, he needs to take the rescue. I said, okay. So then at that point, I call him back and I say, okay, dad, do you want to call your wife or do you want me to call her? So he says, no, I'll call her. So what does he say when he calls her? Hey, Cindy said I have to take the rescue to the hospital. Right? Well, it was really the doctor who said he had to take the rescue because his heart rate was elevated and his oxygen was really low and whatever. But that's okay if that helps him to, you know, justify going to the hospital because I said so, fine, whatever. You know, and of course I talked to my stepmother afterwards and I'm like, yeah, the doctor said he had to take the rescue. And so anyhow, but so he doesn't like to tell his wife because he thinks she's going to get mad when he goes to the hospital because he's been to the hospital so much. So you can imagine that, you know, it's tricky when you know, I'm sure you've all had loved ones in the hospital and you have to take time out of your schedule, rearrange your day, get up there and visit them, talk to the doctors, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm really fortunate that my dad has a young wife. She's only a couple years older than I am. So she's able to do it and, you know, pretty much take care of him. But it's hard to do it on your own. So I don't mind, you know, driving an hour and helping out whenever I can and need to. So I'm tired of my mother that morning. My dad says, well, I'm going at me, and what do I do? Well, I could go into overwhelm and go, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? Here I am halfway, you know, all the way across the other end of the state. How am I going to get to the other, you know, what if something happens, blah, 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 blah. You know, do I just leave my brother's business and say, screw him? You know, do I rush up to my dad? Do I, you know, so all these things, and it's choices in the moment, right? It's all about the choice in the moment. What's really important is that we also choose our, what's the word that I want? It's not behavior. Our sort of position is not the word. Oh, it's totally not coming to me. But our mental standing, let's say that. So what is your mental standing when the lemons hit you, okay? Sometimes, of course, we go into panic mode. Depending on what the situation is, it's natural. And then we sort things out from there. Sometimes we go into depression and go, oh, this is just too overwhelming. I can't deal with it. And then sometimes we step into action and, you know, we get on the chariot and we race and we figure things out and we win the battle and then we collapse after that, right? Wouldn't it be kind of neat if from the beginning you could stay centered, you could assess the situation, and then make an evaluation for yourself in how involved that you can be, how much can you be vested in, how much time can you sort of commit to whatever the situation is, if it's outside of your dealing with your own personal things, and then you know, how do you stay centered through it all, through the chaos, even when it is your own sort of things, right? So like one of the things that I have dealing now, I just moved 3 weeks ago, and so you know how moving is, it's a ton of work. It, you know, it took me like a month to pack because I wanted to go through everything and not take things with me that I really didn't love or use, et cetera. But I was moving to a bigger house, so I wasn't exactly sure like what, which furniture I was going to be able to use, which I couldn't use, was I going to need more things, et cetera, et cetera. So I took more things than I would have if I was going to the same size house or smaller. But I still did get rid of a lot of things. My daughter would have liked me to get rid of just about everything because she's sort of a minimalist, but she didn't get her way. Anyhow, it's very interesting though, because I say to her, now, so we bought a ranch style house. It's pretty big. It's one floor. And she, like I say, when she walked through the doors of this house, something happened to her because she's totally like changed her style and her vibe, and she's becoming sort of like country-ish, not the clean contemporary. And it's driving me crazy. But anyway, it's all really funny to observe. Okay, so back on track. So the water, right, with the lemonade, that's your emotions. And what is your emotional temperature or your emotional flow is up to you, right? Sometimes it's hard to control our emotions. And you, when you learn how to, when you do things, when you do self-development work, when you do things like go to healer school, when you have a really great Reiki teacher, when you go to yoga classes, things like that, you learn how to work with your emotions, right? Rather than being in overwhelm, if you're a person who goes into overwhelm easy, you learn to be more centered in your core. And especially when you learn who you are and like what your profiles are, what your profile is. You guys, if you've tuned in before, you've heard me talk about profiles and the profiling system and also the chakras, right? So we have 12 chakras. And each one of those chakras has a personality, if you will, or an archetype. And those archetypes make up who you are as a whole, combined with your personality profile. Every chakra, all 12, have their own personality profile. And you have a main personality profile, and then you have a secondary personality profile, and then you have a defensive profile. So it's a lot to learn. But when you understand who you are and what makes up your Cynthia Fontaine, or what makes up Kristen or Lisa or Guinevere or Tracy or Patty or Cindy or Mary, you know, what are the components that make you up? And you have an understanding of why you're reacting or which chakra you're reacting from, and really have a clear picture of who you are, then life gets easier, believe it or not. So I totally recommend that if you have not done some kind of personality sort of profiling and learned about who you are, I really highly recommend it. Whether you work with me or do the Enneagram or Human Design, I'm trained through the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine. You know, whatever program you decide to take a look at, it's a really good thing to do. I've looked at many of them, and I've done other programs. I feel Human Design is great, but it's so complex and confusing. I really like Reese's program, and that's why I focus on that. And I'm certified to profile as well. And so... So the emotion, that's the emotion part, right? So the sugar part is then understanding your emotions, what's going on, right? So, of course, with my dad, the first thing that comes up is fear, right? Because, oh, my God, what if I don't call the rescue and something happens before the rescue gets there? Or what if, you know, because he said don't call the rescue. So what if I'm en route, I don't call the rescue? Something happens and we lose, right? Then how do I feel? Pretty bad, right? So I always make a deal with him that I will call him every 10 minutes when I'm en route, and if he doesn't pick up the phone, I call the rescue. That's the deal. So this time he was concerned that they wouldn't be able to get in because the doors were locked, and he couldn't get to the doors to unlock them. So now we've worked out a plan. He's given me a house key. We're working out a plan so that the fire department can have a key now and things like that. But that's the first time this has happened. So it's like, okay, so here's a new twist to the story. Now how do we deal with this? So, you know, I could have been like, oh, my God, how are we going to get in? Well, okay, fine, break the door. No, whatever. No big deal. You fix it. And, so my dad was like, no, you got to bring a screwdriver and this and that, and I'll tell you how to get the door up when you get here. So funny, right? So as it turned out, his wife actually left the door unlocked. So when I got there, the door was opened, and I didn't have to take the door off the hinges, and I met the rescue there. And, you know, it was interesting because in other times I have gone into panic when he's called and needed to go to the hospital. But this time I didn't, you know, and I think part of it maybe is because, you know, I'm sort of more prepared for that call because he's pretty ill, and, he has a lot of medical complications at this point. Hi, Pat. I hope you're going to OP. Good morning, Thelma, or good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be. And so I'm sort of more prepared in a way, although it never makes it easy, right, when we lose our loved ones. And I know that there's a bunch of you here in the Facebook page that have recently lost parents. And my heart goes out to you guys. So you got the water part is the emotions. Then the sugar part is then what do you do next? How do you make this situation sort of what ingredient can you add to help it be the best sort of in for other people and for yourself, okay? So another thing that I'm dealing with is I'm currently helping my brother. And one of the things that I need to do is go through his paperwork and figure out like what his bills are and so forth. And so when I agreed to sort of take this on, I didn't realize how much work it was going to be. And so I started getting a little resentful because of the amount of work and how much time it's taking out of my life to get this done. Not that I resent my brother. I just was starting to feel a little resentful for the amount of time I was having to dedicate to this. And again, not that I don't want to help him. It's just, you know, it interrupts your life. Oh, yay, Pat. I can't wait to see you. So if you guys have not signed up for Oracle Palooza yet, for Colette Baron Reed's big 3-day weekend event she has once a year in San Diego, I know there are still some tickets left. You guys, it'll be the best weekend of your life. Go and sign up. Get a ticket. I think the hotel rooms at that particular hotel are booked, but there's tons of hotels in San Diego. You can find another hotel room and come and have a lot of fun, right? I will be there with bells on, you know, barring nothing emergency happens with my dad, and then, you know, I can't go. But, well, fingers crossed, and you guys cross them for me too, that he's out of the woods, and I'll be able to go. Lisa by Grace says, you are so real. It's great to witness. Oh, thank you, Lisa. You know, and I could be less authentic. I could be less real. I could, you know, make it all look like my life is fine and rosy and beautiful. And my life is beautiful, but it doesn't matter how good your life is. There's always things that happen that come up in our life, right? And when things are going good, we tend to get a little lackadaisical. We tend to sort of just like go with the flow and not do our personal work. And then the shit hits the fan. And then, oh my God, we're scrambling. We got to do some work, right? So my guides are poking me. So I have a team of guides, right, that I work with that you guys know if you've listened to me before. And if you this is your first time tuning in, I have this amazing team of guides, which are huge at this point. I have over 40 guides. Last time I counted, I think it was 44. It's this big collective, and they're funny. They're a pain in the ass. They keep me, you know, they keep me grounded. They also keep me on track and make me do my work, you know, and they're like, poke, 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 go to the lines on the Blog Talk Studio, because people have been holding for a long time, and talk to somebody in the studio. So I am going to do that. And we want to finish talking about the sugar part, though, right? So the sugar is how what you do with now the lemon, which is the situation, the water, which is your first emotion, right? And the emotions that come up once you get hit with that lemon. And then the sugar is then where you go from there. After getting hit with the lemon, then you go through the emotional part. Because women, automatically, our brains are wired to go from thought to emotion. So from lemon to emotion. Men's brains are actually hardwired differently, where they go from lemon or thought incident to action. And then maybe it hits the emotional center, but maybe not. So, and I know I have some men that listen to the show, and I love you guys for tuning in and for listening. So that's sort of like the synopsis, the metaphor of the lemon, the water, the sugar, lemonade. Ta-da! How much sugar do you put in? Well, that's up to you. Okay, so I'm going to go to the call line, and the first caller, this area code is 256. And the last four digits are 2574. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Kimberly. How are you?
Hey, Kimberly. How are you doing?
I'm well. What about you?
I'm well. With all the lemons that have come my way, I'm doing okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. How are things for you? Georgia?
Yes.
Georgia, yes. Yeah. How are things in Georgia?
things are well. It's nice and sunny, and the wind's blowing a little this morning, so it's beautiful.
Nice, nice. Same here, actually, yeah. So, Kimberly, what can I do for you today?
Yeah, I am just now accepting the role of being a teacher because I really hadn't wanted to be a teacher. I was fighting against it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But in my past of teaching, I am, I guess, wondering more than anything, like, what's the next step on my path, or how do I affect children, like, on the next step, or students, not really children, but.
So how you make the most impact with your kids are you know who you are, right? Who you are and what you stand for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then also you make a safe haven for those kids, okay? So because you deal with kids that get a lot of lemons thrown at them, yes?
Yeah.
And so then they get hit with the lemons. They've got the water, which is their emotions, right? Then you come in with the sugar, okay? Then you figure out, you know, how can I best be of service to this child? Whether it's they're not getting fed at home because they don't have, the parents don't have enough money, or maybe the mom is an alcoholic and doesn't shop or doesn't prepare food. You know, maybe they come in and they come in with the same clothes day after day after day. You know, you be there as their daddy, no matter what's going on in their life, right? You be there as their daddy, okay?
Okay.
You be there at and you listen to them, okay? And then when there's times when there's intervention needed, whether it's social services or maybe they need to go see the counselor at school or the nurse or whatever it is, or, you know, maybe you need to talk to the school system about getting them a lunch program set up or whatever it is, right? You do those things, okay? So that's the sugar. You be the constant. You be the steady for them. You be the voice of reason. You be the one who uplifts them. So we have a judge here in Rhode Island where I live who is, he's absolutely wonderful. His name is Judge Capriccio, and he gives people opportunities, right? So he had this young man come before him recently who is homeless. He has a car. Sometimes he sleeps in his car, but for a couple of weeks, he was staying at friends' houses. And sometimes the friend uses his car, and that, you know, with permission, because he feels that's what he should do because he's sleeping on their couch. But he doesn't always know if they have the car, if they don't. And at one point over the 2 weeks, somebody had taken the car, and they ran a red light, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And they got the license plate on camera. And then he also had an overnight parking ticket, which, you know, sleeping in his car before having a friend's house to stay in the 2 weeks, he gets the parking ticket. And he couldn't remember the particular date or say to the judge, yes, I was sleeping in my car. But he explained the situation to the judge, you know, said, look, my dad died December last year, 2018. I went into depression. I lost my job. I'm trying to get my life together. You know, so I it could have been me. I don't know, but it is my car, so I take full responsibility. The judge said to him, look, I'm rooting for you. He said, I'm on your side. He said, I want you to have a chance, so I'm not fining you. I'm going to erase these 2 tickets, and I want you to really get your life together, right? So that's the example for you, that I'm going to share for you to be for your kids. Okay. You give them, you believe in them. There was a study a while back where they took a group of kids who were all, I don't know if they were underprivileged, but they were underscoring in tests tests and things like that, and they weren't doing well in the education system. So they mm-hmm. took this whole group of kids who were having difficulty in the school system, and they put them in a classroom together, and they sent them to this teacher in a different school and said, these kids are brilliant. These kids are gifted, they're bright, you know, they're smart, and we know that you are best suited to teach these kids. So that teacher, believing that these students were gifted, they were smart, they were talented, right, took those kids mm-hmm. for that description, and those children then excelled. Even though they were in remedial classes previous to that, even though they were not high scoring, even though they were struggling in school, that teacher believed in them, right? So sometimes when kids come in and we go, oh, this is a troubled one, right? So we have this concept in our mind automatically, oh, this is a troubled kid, right? Rather than, this is a kid who just needs some support. This is a kid who's not getting it at home, you know, or this is a kid who's misunderstood. Our school systems are made for one type of learner, and in the profiling system, that's the knowledgeable achiever. So the knowledgeable achiever is a person who wants to learn everything, doing it perfectly and well, and learning everything about like a particular subject, right? The charismatic leader just wants to learn enough to get by, typically. They want to, if they do well and they excel, it's because they're getting accolades for it. So there's the motivation behind it is they're getting a pat on the back and, oh, yay, look at me. They like to be looked at, right? The knowledgeable achiever doesn't care about that. The creative idealists are the kids who don't have to study and they get the A's anyway. And the emotional intelligence specialists who are the kids who are soft and they're, you know, they sit in the corner. Those are the kids that they can do okay, but they need a little bit of sort of like, you can do it. Everybody needs a cheerleader, right? So you're that cheerleader. You're the one who's the cheerleader for those kids, okay? It's a little bit psychologist, not just mm-hmm. teaching. Teachers really are psychologists too, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so all of that combined. It's all of that combined. That's how you make an impact. I mean, some of the best people, well, not, you know, some of the people that in my life early on that made an impact were teachers. And those who become teachers often become teachers because of a teacher. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yes, perfect sense. Perfect sense.
Great, great. Yeah, so like my first and second grade teacher were huge for me, and my fourth grade teacher, and I was able to keep in touch with my fourth grade teacher for years and years, and my choral vocal teacher from sixth grade, and then my gymnastics coach. Those particular teachers were the ones for me who believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself, right? They were the ones who believed in me. And I, to this day, it still makes an impact for me knowing mm-hmm. that those teachers believed in me. And, you know, so one of the teachers passed away 2 years ago, my first music teacher, you know, real music teacher, when I got into chorus and things like that, not like fourth grade when you're playing the xylophone or whatever, right? And she believed in me, and she believed in me so much that she gave me solo parts to sing, right, starting in sixth grade. And then I continued on through singing through high school. And then I had a teacher my senior year of high school just before I was graduating, and I was at a very vulnerable point in my life where I had gotten hit by a lot of lemons. And it wasn't. It was with myself, but it was also within my family. My parents were getting divorced. My high school sweetheart was seeing somebody else, and then I was raped, and this was all within like 5 months, 4 or 5 months, the last end of my high school year. And then my music teacher, just before we were graduating, and we were doing all our college things and you know, what we wanted to do, I said, you know, I want to continue singing. And we had to sing in front of him. And his assessment of my singing was that I would never make it as a singer. That was his words to me. You'll never make it as a singer. At best, you could do maybe a little pop, you know, around local. That would be it. That one teacher, I stopped singing at that point. It was so devastating to me that I stopped singing. And I had not sung in front of people. Now, at that point, you know, I was in competitions. I had won some awards. You know, so it wasn't just like I was, you know, somebody in this choir group that, you know, a lot of kids join chorus or whatever, and then, you know, but don't go beyond the group. But I was, you know, I was singing in trios. I was doing duets. I was in competitions, et cetera, et cetera. And I stopped singing completely, would not sing in front of people for years and years and years. And then a couple of years ago, my sixth grade choral teacher, the one who believed in me first with the music, passed away. And her wife asked if I would like to join the group who was going to sing at Kate's funeral service. And I was honored. I was flattered. I was nervous. I hadn't sung in years. How was I going to do this? I hadn't sung with these people. So the group that came together was a group of about 40 or so people who had had Kate as a music teacher at some point, whether it was professional lessons, because she was a beautiful opera singer, and she had private students, et cetera. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do this because she believed in me and I know I can do it. So I had 6 days to get ready. They sent me the music, the recordings to practice with, and the 40 of us, approximately 40, showed up. We had one rehearsal the night before. And when I go back and listen and watch the tape, somebody recorded it, I am stunned because it is so beautiful. And some of us had never, ever sung before because this woman's career spanned over 40 years. There were a few in the group who I had sung with previously, you know, through high school, but most of them I had not. And it was like an angelic choir. It was just absolutely beautiful. And so that gave me hope again, right? And it started me singing again. Now my voice isn't what it used to be, you know, because I haven't practiced all these years, but I sing now in front of people just spontaneously, right? Songs will just start coming out. And I would never do that 10 years ago. So believe in the kids that are put before you. Believe in yourself,
right,
and your ability to offer what you can to those kids. Right? That's the magic. That's the abracadabra. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that goes for every angle and every avenue of our life. Right? We have the opportunities to touch people every day by being authentic in who we are. Setting boundaries, that's important, right? Being clear about boundaries, because when we don't have clear boundaries, life gets muddled, and then we get resentful.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I hope that helps and makes sense for you.
Yes, it does.
Okay, great, great, great. And, you know, I'm seeing a long, long career for you with hundreds, maybe even thousands of kids sort of at your feet, and then, you know, them coming back to you later on when your hair is gray you know, and coming back to you and saying, you know, Miss Kimberly, it was because of you I became, you know, an engineer. It's because of you, because you believed in me, that, you know, I got the A's or whatever it is. But, you know, I feel like that you're really destined to touch a lot of hearts and souls. And they're talking about, totally off subject, but they're talking about a man coming in for you.
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
So I don't know what your status is, but they're talking about this man coming in. And, oh, let me tell you, honey, this guy is good.
Wonderful.
He is
wonderful.
Hot. He is, yeah, he is good. So he might be a little bit, I don't know, he seems like he's a little bit suave, you know, but just so be mm-hmm. really clear about what you want in a man. What would make the,
okay.
you real, what makes you feel really good and really happy, right?
Okay.
What makes you feel really good and really happy? And remember, keep it in positive statements. I want a man who takes care of his woman. I want a man
okay.
who has only one woman, right? I
right.
want a man who is financially stable, who knows how to save money, who also knows how to take that money and have some fun, right? Be really clear about, specific and clear about what the perfect man would be for you. Because they're going, my guys are so funny. They're going, sugar, this guy is good.
I love it. And I have the clear statements. I have a focus wheel. So I have,
right.
that's one of the things that I have on my focus wheel. Those statements that you just said, I have the statement written on
okay.
the focus wheel in my bedroom.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the key with the focus wheel or a vision board or any kind of affirmation statements, right, are already feeling like you've got it, right?
Okay.
Man, I can see this. I can feel this guy. I can, man, he is good, right? and you focus on the feeling of how good it is, how good it
okay.
feels. Because the feeling like you already have it, like you're already experiencing it, that's the abracadabra. That's the magic that creates and brings things to us, you know, in the right timing and even faster.
All right.
Yeah, it looks really good. I like this guy.
That's great.
I'm like, ooh, honey. So Kimberly, I hope that helps. And it's always a lot of fun talking with you. And keep doing the good work, honey. You're doing really well. You know, you're in a great direction, and I feel like that your life is just sort of beginning to blossom in a way that it, you know, the flowers are coming into bloom. It's been long in coming. You know, you've really had hurdles to overcome, and you've done it, and you've done it well. And you know, just keep having faith. I feel like, you know, you have a lot of faith, and just keep having that faith, and know that you know, you're on track and you're on purpose, and that good things are coming for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. We're out of time here on the Blog Talk Radio Studio. I'm going to hang out with you guys for a few minutes on Facebook, but not too long because I have a zillion things to do. So, Kimberly, thanks for calling in. And
thank you.
Have
a great day.
Have a blessed Memorial Day weekend.
All right. You too.
Thank you. All right. All right, you guys.
Bye.
So over on Blog Talk, remember, come to my website, CynthiaFontaine.com. Like my Facebook page, Cynthia Fontaine. I think it's under the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. Might be Cynthia Fontaine Intuitive. Check it out. And I have an exciting announcement, too, that I know you guys have been listening know that I've been working on this big project. with an arts and wellness center, and we are so close for it to happen. So I just want to keep you guys posted on that, especially for all my local peeps. All right, you guys on Blog Talk, I love you, and I will see you next week. Oh, no, I won't see you next week. Next week, I will be at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts for the One Big One Mission fundraising event. Ron Gronkowski from the New England Patriots will be there shaving fuzzy heads, and he shaves the top two fundraisers' heads, and then he also gets his head shaved. They get to shave his head, and he shaves the top two fundraisers' heads. So One Mission is a foundation that my friend Ashley Hadiosis and her husband Ari started 10 years ago because their son had pediatric cancer, and then they lost one of their nieces. And it was going through that experience that they decided to make a difference. And the foundation provides things for kids and their families who are in Boston Children's Hospitals and also Hasbro Hospital in Providence, that the medical system, you know, doesn't provide or they don't have funding for. Things that are help the kids, right? Keep their spirits up. Like they do Taco Tuesdays. They have ice cream socials. They help the parents with parking passes and with gift cards for restaurants so they you know, can eat, because it's so outrageously expensive to, you know, have anyone in the medical, in the hospital for periods of time. You know, and some of these kids are there for months and months and months. And so they do things for these kids. They provide activities, and there's a treasure chest, right? And the kids can go to the treasure chest, like, you know, say they've had a chemo treatment or they've had to have surgery, and then they can go to the treasure chest, right, and get something fun after a difficult thing. So it's a great foundation. I love what they do. I was promoted this year to front door cheerleader. I'm excited about that. So I've been a cheerleader for a couple of years. I also did games one year, teaching kids how to play football, and they had these blow up games, which was a lot of fun. Lucky for me, I played football in high school, so I knew how to teach kids how to throw and kick and all that, and it was a lot of fun. But this year, I've been promoted to the front door, the welcoming crew. I'm so excited about that. So anyway, if you are inspired to check them out, you can check them out. It's onemission.org, O-N-E, mission.org. If you're local to the Massachusetts, Rhode Island area, and want to volunteer, I know they still are looking for some volunteers. This is next Sunday at June 2nd at Gillette Stadium, 8:30 in the morning, and it goes until about 2:30 in the afternoon. So last year they shaved over 700 heads, and this year hopefully it'll be more. They've raised over, I think it's $10 million now at this point. So again, if you're inspired to check them out, you can check them out at onemission.org. If you're local and want to volunteer, message them, go on their website, and then send them a request to volunteer. Or if you'd like to help out, if you'd like to donate, if you'd like to send toys in for the treasure chest, whatever, check them out. It's a really great organization. All right, so that's it for you guys over there on Blog Talk. I will see you actually in a couple of weeks. And you guys over